justified its usage. Now, because we've justified the usage of Java 1.5 over 1.4, it did not, however, justify all of the little extra features and gadgets and various bits and pieces that come in that. So we had to define policies that dictated what our programmers could and couldn't do. It's all very well saying, okay, great, you've got all these new features, you've got all these annotations and things, so everybody go away and use annotations. That's very well, but you've got thousands and thousands of programmers. Not everybody in banks are like you guys that sit there with your head in books working, ah, great, annotations, we've got to use this, this is really cool stuff. A lot of them, sadly, are sort of like, oh, we've got to program Java today. And they're there, they get paid nice wages, they go to work and they program Java and they go home at the end of the day and they're not particularly interested in annotations. And if you get these people programming badly, it creates a nightmare to manage this. A lot of these features we had to limit. So we said, fine, we use Java 1.5, but you can only use the traditional features. We allowed the loops and we allowed generics. Generics was very good. Again, we had to argue like hell to get generics to go through, but it certainly was useful. Mainly, our argument was based on the fact that it's built into the, not just that it's built into the language, but in fact you have to know generics. If you go to the Java doc, in fact, you'll find all of the Java doc uses generics, so that got it through. Messaging. What are we using messaging? Typically, in the front office, you'll find TIBCO Rendezvous. It's a very high-performance pub-sub network. One of the main reasons is that it sits and works very well with Microsoft. Now, I just said before, we don't see Microsoft in the banking world, but you do see it on people's desktops. The traders sit, they absolutely love Excel, sadly. There's a product, I forget, it's by a company called Formula One, I think. They did an implementation of Excel in Java. It's absolutely superb. It's brilliant. And if we could actually replace Excel with Java, we could get rid of Microsoft completely. Sorry, is there anybody here from Microsoft? Not that I care anyway, but good. Okay, we could get, I mean, the only thing keeping Microsoft is Excel. That's the only reason people use Microsoft. It's Excel in the traders. And these dealers sit there and they do these calculations and they put them into Microsoft spreadsheets. And they basically want their numbers coming in and out of Microsoft spreadsheets. And it is the only reason that we have and use Microsoft in the banking industry. And this implementation of Excel was great. It was in Java. We could actually split the client and server part. We could put the calculations onto the server. And we could put the client, i.e. just swing tables and things, onto the client. The main problem was that it didn't implement the ActiveX and all those nasty little bits and pieces that come with the Excel, and that was really the only problem, the only reason we couldn't get rid of it. So we see a lot of Microsoft at the traders' desktops. We use TIBCO Rendezvous to deliver messages. It's very high performance. We see an awful lot of MQ series in the back. Again, this is the main reason that IBM is around, is because of MQ series. Those using MQ series tend to abstract it behind JMS, so as far as they're concerned, they're just using a JMS. So JMS is very, very important in this particular industry. We don't see so much JMS used with TIBCO Rendezvous because TIBCO Rendezvous tends to be largely used on the Microsoft platforms, and of course JMS is fairly useless on the Microsoft platforms, as are a lot of things. There's a thing called AMQ. Got a couple of slides on AMQ. It was released yesterday for those that hadn't seen the or don't read the wires, but I'll cover that in a second. Application servers. I can't say application servers are dead. We use an awful lot of them. We spend millions and millions on BA, on WebSphere, on JBoss. We spend money on JBoss. Of course we spend money on JBoss. We have to have it supported. So we do use application servers a lot. However, application servers are on the down. We use them less and less, and it would be fairly safe to say that the vast majority of our new applications don't actually, we don't jump into using an application server. We tend to use a Tomcat-esque stack, meaning that If we need a container, it tends to be Tomcat. It tends to be a lightweight container. We use a lot of Spring, for example. So the Java stack is very good, but we're not particularly nuts on getting someone else's all of the implementations that come with a J2EE stack. We use a hell of a lot of WebSphere. Of WebLogic. We're great fans of WebLogic, but it's used less and less, and you actually have to, in a lot of banks, and I don't just speak for the ones that I've recently worked for, but a lot of these banks, you have to justify why you actually want to use J2EE. It's not just, oh, here's an application server, I'll use it. You need to actually justify, what do you want out of a application server? Why do you need it? If you're buying WebLogic, your messaging is not going to be WebLogic's or BEA's messaging service. You're still going to be using your MQ series. EJBs have been banned, certainly entity beans have been banned in the vast majority of banks for years, literally years. When I was in Paribas, BNP Paribas, it was 2002, we banned EJBs just on the entity side. So there's still a lot of following behind this, but a lot of the other persistence technologies, which I'd love to go into now, are far more popular. Certainly BEA is coming up with some very, very interesting stuff on the EJB side, EJB3, and so we're watching that with a lot of enthusiasm. It's, certainly people like Patrick working on that. That's hopefully going to turn things around. Anyway, getting into the open source stack, as we're getting in towards, we're talking about JBoss and things, JP Morgan created their own internal stack, and you basically have to use this stack by default, and if you need to use anything else, you need to justify the use of it. This is basically, it contains its own build of Maven, obviously Ant, things like that, Tomcat, Hibernate, Spring, all of these sorts of things are in there, and again, you can use WebLogic, you can use JBoss, etc., but you really do need to justify the reasons behind this. Getting into the open source stack, one of the things we need from our containers is the ability to scale up in terms of outputs horizontally, but we also need to be able to scale downwards. And Spring has become a very popular framework in this, and we use a lot of Spring inside the bank. It has its own little problems and issues, but we've got around that, and I certainly see this as the new framework behind this. BEA have been very, very clever in recognizing this, and all credit to BEA in recognizing Spring as being significant in the future. Banking and open source. We are seriously into open source, but I think probably not for the same reasons that you're imagining why we like open source. As a supplier, we're worried about longevity. We're worried about, as a consumer, we're worried about the fact that how long will these companies be around? If you're too small, if the vendor is too small, we worry about whether you'll still be around. Will you go bankrupt? Will you disappear? Will you change your mind and do something else? So banks often don't like small companies. If you're too large, the IBMs of the world, we worry about whether you'll be innovating. Will you be willing to adapt? Okay, you've got a product here, but we'd like it to do that. And you go back to a big company, and they'll say, well, we'll do it in about 3 years' time or something like that. Go back to a small company, it says, oh, yes, we'll do anything you want, no problem at all. And if you're just the right size, strangely, we worry about them being bought. So who is the ideal supplier? Well, there is, sadly, no ideal supplier. And this is why banks do an awful lot of build-in. They build stuff in-house. And that in itself is one of the main reasons. You're too small. They don't like small companies. Often they don't like big companies. And they don't like just right-sized companies either. So it makes it rather complicated. But those are the reasons behind it. We look for the skills from the company. We tend to buy products from companies but we only buy the products of which the company understands and works with. We don't buy something from a company where it is not their key expertise. We one of the main reasons we like open source is because it gives us security. We have access to the source code. If the company, going through the small, big, and just right size, if the company disappears, we've still got the source code, which is great. We can employ people. Banks love employing people. We can employ someone to look after the source code. If they're too big and we've got the source code, there's not many big companies release source code, but if they're too big, we can certainly innovate ahead of what the big company is doing. And if they're just the right size and get bought, we have the source code, and if they get bought and disappear off in a different direction, it's great, we've still got the source code. Just because it's open source doesn't mean it's instantly attractive. If you're the only implementation of a particular standard, open source or not open source, you're still proprietary. So we do like to see several implementations, whether they be commercial or non-commercial. So if you've got something that's open source, it's not just going to be bought or used by a bank just purely because it's open source. The source code is available. There's a lot of things we can do. We can check the quality, feel the width, as it were. Nobody's laughing, so there's obviously a European audience here. Thank you, guys. We can look at bugs. We can narrow down the bugs. It's all very well saying this doesn't work. It's the classic problem. It doesn't work. It doesn't work here, but it works there. So if we got the source code, we can narrow it down. We can go back and say, you've got a problem in this file or in this area. It's much, much easier. We can improve the understanding of the products. We can better optimize our code that's using the products. And we can be sure there's nothing nasty hidden inside it as well, spyware, that sort of thing. So source code is very interesting on that side. We don't actually use the source code. I don't know if this is people's... we're all geeks here, so we love the source code, but and I include myself in that. But recently in a bank, I think we surveyed about 50 different projects that were using Tomcat. I think about 8 of them had actually downloaded the source code, and none of those had actually ever compiled it. So the source code can be available, but in practice we actually don't use it. So it's just the fact that it's there. It's not the fact that we need to modify it and change it, etc. And again, in reality, this is a conversation I was having with Rod a couple of years ago. I think he was basically saying that the vast majority of the committers are they're internal. Very few. I mean, go to Tomcat, even any of these things. The people who actually commit to the projects are not the general community. They're people who work and are paid to work in this area. I would imagine the same as JBoss. It's not the public that commits, or you and I that commits to JBoss. I know there will be some people here that commit to it, but it tends to be the people who are paid by this industry to commit to it. So the community is basically the users, not the committers. It's not an open source. It's not a community of thousands of people committing to these projects. It's a few people commit to the projects. It's thousands and millions that use it. There's a lot of politics in open source, and this is also something that very few companies seem to realize. It's quite amusing. You see, you know, do we go Apache, do we go JBoss, etc. This is a lot of politics. Axis or Xfire, etc. Which way do we go? Do we get something that James Strachan has written? Is James here yet? Hey, James, are you here? No, good, okay. We can get something that James has written, and we get something that's been finished. He'll kill me after this. there's a lot of politics in this, and this is something that very few people seem to realize, and banks included. You need to understand the open source community. And there's lots of licenses, and really, as a technologist and not somebody who works as a lawyer, you tend to get a bit fed up with people moaning about, oh, I can't buy that, can't use this piece of source code because it's XYZ license. Who cares? I mean, it's source code. The source code is there. We just want to use it. We don't care what the license is. Well, we don't. I don't care what the license is. The lawyers do. And sadly, there's lots of lawyers in banks. I've got to keep moving on pretty quick on this. A lot of source code has come out of banks. Open Adapter is a good example. It's basically adapter software, so you get a lot of nice software for MQ series, integration to MQ series. If you ever need to use it, very, very useful piece of software. TIBCO Rendezvous, etc. There's some nice stuff in there. Spring. Spring hasn't come out of a bank, but you'll find people like Rod spend most of their lives working in banks. I bump into him in all sorts of places where we've either worked in the past or worked together. So Rod's background is also investment banking and this sort of side. So I'd say Spring has a firm background in the investment banking world. AMQ, this is new technology we're going to come across in a second. AMQ, I won't bother to read through this. AMQ came out yesterday. It's basically a wire-level protocol. Think of it a bit like IIOP, but asynchronous messaging. IIOP was it's basically remote procedure calls. AMQ is basically messaging. So it's an open protocol. There will be implementations of AMQP. There are two currently. They're used in JP Morgan. And these are the sorts of industries behind AMQ. Yesterday it was announced we've got large companies like JP Morgan Chase who use it in production, an implementation of AMQ. This obviously is going to replace an awful lot. It's going to commoditize the messaging world. And a lot of those messaging vendors that I mentioned before, it's going to change the scene. It's not particularly interesting if you're just using JMS, because if you use JMS, you don't care what the implementation is. It's an interface. But AMQ will be sitting underneath that implementation. And things, one thing that's written in Java on one side can talk to something that's written in C or C++ sitting on another side, or .NET or whatever it may be. Cisco, Iona, Red Hat, etc. behind this. Imagine Red Hat building this and going to be distributing it with their distributions, meaning just like you can send mail or you can do FTP or SSH on a Linux box, you'll be able to do messaging because it will be built in to the kernel. Sorry, not into the kernel, but into the operating system, into the distributions. So it's going to commoditize messaging completely. Moving on very quickly, databases. I think databases are on their way out. Databases are going to be used for archival. With the technologies that we've got these today, we often do pure in-memory databases. I think this is quite exciting. The sorts of figures we get out of this are 2+ orders of magnitude faster than a database. You can brute force search through 1,000,000 rows much quicker than you can actually do a query on a database. And with the sorts of memories we have in these machines typically, we just load everything up into memory, and we don't even need to brute force search. We can build indexes on it in memory. But this is changing a lot of stuff, and extremely interesting. And essentially, if it's an in-memory database, it's not really a cache anymore. A cache is only when you're actually holding something before it goes into the database. We maintain the entire database for the duration of the day and then zap it out into a database later. Unfortunately, I've been told something like this. I think it means I've got to stop. Either that or I stepped on a cable or something. I'll go through these very, very, very quickly. Hopefully you permit me to have a... If you get that web server... Oh, the buggers. They've really cut me off now. Okay, we're back. Everybody gather around the laptop. Okay, well... I'd love to talk more, but thank you very much. I'm going to be on Friday at noon. It's going to be far more technical. I have lots of code for you there, so hopefully join me on Friday. Thank you very much.